Right now, we're joined by Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. First of all, good morning to you, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Crowley. How are you?
You tired from trick-or-treating?
Not really. We live on a dead-end street, so right now, while the kids are pretty young still, we can convince them just to go up and back and call it a night and then eat some candy. So that's what we did. We were all wrapped up by like 6:40, 6:45.
Do the kids like hockey? Because a dead-end street is the perfect place to develop tremendous young hockey players.
No, not yet. But, I mean, between that, you know, basketball goal at one point, yeah, I mean, we should have a lot of activities to do in the cul-de-sac.
The beard also well manicured this morning. I just want to throw that out there before we get in the meat and potatoes of this thing. I mean, the beard is looking AA+.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to shave until the Steelers are out of Super Bowl contention. So, see if this thing keeps going.
All right, let's get right into this then. That beard's going to grow for a long time. I mean, these Steelers, they're very good. And you look at the AFC, and I wonder, how many great teams are there, if any, apart from the Kansas City Chiefs, and even they're not playing well. We'll get to that. But biggest surprise positive for the Steelers at the halfway park for you, Brian?
I think the play of Russell Wilson through these two games, you know, I was skeptical about turning to him when Mike Tomlin did. I thought even if that did turn out to be the right move, it may not pay dividends immediately because of the rust factor. And, you know, credit to him and credit to the team and the supporting cast. Even when there were some rusty rust moments, they were able to respond. And not only did they not cost them games, but they ended up winning pretty convincingly, at least against the Jets. You know, the Giants were friskier than anticipated. But yeah, I think the ability that he's been able to bring to the offense, elevating really the whole system under Arthur Smith, has been a pleasant surprise for them and one that gives you a shot of optimism going into the second half here.
Has he elevated guys enough so that you don't need another guy, so that you don't need a Darius Slayton or a Jacoby Myers or an Adam Thielen or any of the other potentially available options?
I don't want to say you need one, but I would still probably want to get one if I were in that GM chair. I mean, it's just, not only could you use an upgrade talent-wise, maybe over a Van Jefferson as your de facto number two. I mean, we've seen Calvin Austin make more plays as the quote-unquote number three than Jefferson. That's just been the flow of things so far. It's a bit of a by-committee approach, but you also just don't really have much depth. I mean, behind Pickens and Jefferson, you've got a couple small guys in Austin and Scotty Miller. You've got, you know, Roman Wilson, if he ever gets back. You know, the receivers coach did tell us the other day they're going to need him down the stretch. Maybe he was just trying to polish that up a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, there's just not really a lot of other NFL caliber high-end talent on the roster right now. And, you know, you get into the likes of Brandon Johnson and Quez Watkins on the practice squad. Eh, I think it's worth going out there trying to flip a late pick for somebody to a team who's desperate here at the deadline.
I'm with you, and I think just when you're throwing out as many eligibles as you can, you need an upgrade. But the Pickens injury situation, if there were to be one, is what scares me more than anything else. Because I do think they can continue to win games with what they've got. I don't know how fluidly they could engineer victory if George Pickens were to get hurt and all of a sudden you're bumping Van up and you're bumping any number of those guys up. Who's been the biggest
installing the triple option at that point, Crowman?
Oh, maybe you have Justin Fields on the field at the same time as Russell Wilson. How about that?
His value would go up right away if they lose George Pickens, and then they're going to the flex bone offense.
Who do you think's been the biggest disappointment so far?
I'd say probably Broderick Jones.
Yeah.
You know, our mutual buddy Ray Fittipaldo has a story on him up on the Post-Gazette site right now, after talking to O-line coach Pat Meyer on Wednesday. And Pat Meyer, I think, even caught himself a little bit being so bluntly honest about Jones, saying that he needs to focus on each and every play. That's not really what you want to hear. It was in the context of an overall encouraging response from his position coach. Broderick's got the right mentality, the right attitude. He wants to learn, but Meyer didn't really mince words. I mean, made it clear that, obviously, which we can all see from the outside, I mean, the tape is the tape. The numbers with the penalties are just, you can't argue them He's not learning fast enough. He's not picking it up fast enough, and it's been a weak spot for them on their O-line thus far.
It's the bye week, so it's time for questions like this, where you can look ahead to the offseason and people can't yell at you and say, no, tell us about this Commanders game. So, do you think there's a chance, and what percentage chance would you put on it, that Dan Moore Jr. is back next year?
I mean, I think there's a chance. Every passing week here that Jones struggles, I think the chance goes up incrementally. I still would not put it above 50-50, but I don't know, maybe 20, 25%, just because Jones isn't playing well. So you're not going to write the guy off after 2 years, and maybe there's something to be said for moving him back to his more natural feeling position. But also Troy Faltanu coming off of a pretty significant injury himself. And do you feel like you need another, you know, gap year or bridge year? The only thing that would give me pause on that front, though, Crowley, just from talking to Dan Moore and being around him, I don't think he would settle for like a 1 year deal again and say, oh, I'm going to prove myself. No. He is going to say, look, I've done what I've done these last 4 years, held off all challengers for this position, gotten better. I am going to get the bag. If it's not here, sorry, Steelers. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for drafting guys at my spot in the first round every year. I'm going to get paid somewhere, and it's going to be a multi-year deal.
Last thing here for you, Brian. If you are looking at this Steelers offense, and forget the wide receiver thing, we've done that, and thinking, okay, you need to see something, or there's a fly in the ointment here, what might that be?
I mean, I'll go back to my original answer. I still need to see more from Russ. It's been good thus far, but a little bit worried. He turns 36 next month. He's moved pretty well when he's needed to kind of slide and give himself better arm angles in the pocket. But man, I mean, it with those older quarterbacks, it can always look good until it doesn't. So if teams start to heat him up a little bit and try to counter what they've been doing thus far in the passing game, then he's also going to need to have a response, and Arthur Smith might need to have some different schematic wrinkles to throw out at them. And couple that, Crowley, with if the O-line pass protection gets worse at some point this season and Russ is running for his life, then that could make this offense bogged down.
Yeah, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but if the Steelers are down 10 points, something like that, and play action's not a threat, you're not getting them on the edge, and it's just traditional drop-back passing, can this offensive line hold up? I don't think so right now. I'm not sure. And we haven't really had to see it yet with Russell Wilson. Brian, this was awesome. As always, man, appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. See you guys.
Great man. Hard worker. Brian Bacco, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.